Shalom, I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to the weekly yeshiva teaching. The weekly teaching is free, and it is in MP3 format. You can download the teaching at the ministry's website at www.hebroots.org. You can subscribe via a RSS feed where you can get the teaching automatically downloaded to your iPod or your iPhone. And we want to encourage you to make this teaching available to your friends and family. The purpose of the teaching is to help you to be rooted and grounded in understanding the Hebraic roots of Christianity. We need to remember that when we're studying the Hebraic roots of Christianity, we must keep everything centered on Yeshua the Messiah. That is because it is written in Psalm chapter 40, verse 7, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me." That verse is quoted of Yeshua in Hebrews in chapter 10, in verse 7. Then Yeshua himself stated in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the Torah of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Therefore, Yeshua himself stated that the Hebrew scriptures are written of him. Therefore, when we're seeking to understand the Bible, in order to see Yeshua in his fullness, we need to see him from Genesis to Revelation. We need to see him in the Torah and the prophets as our foundation for understanding his teachings, as is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and also to understand his second coming. In this teaching, we're going to share with you that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And this truth is fundamental in understanding the Hebraic roots of Christianity. So we can understand this truth by looking at the New Testament and realizing that Yeshua is our Savior. And the New Testament explains that the one who is our Savior also gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. So let's look at this. Matthew, in chapter 1, in verse 21, it is written, "And she," referring to Mary, "shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name," in Hebrew, Yeshua, which means salvation, "for he shall save his people from their sins." And then in Luke, in chapter 2, in verse 11, it is written, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So Yeshua will save his people from their sins, and he is our Savior. Based upon this truth, we're going to look at James in chapter 4 and verse 12, which says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save." This verse tells us that the one that saves, who is Yeshua, he saves his people from their sins. He is our Savior. The one who is able to save is also the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, or is the lawgiver. Let's look at additional proof for this being so. Next, we're going to look at Hebrews in chapter 12, verses 24 through 26. And if we pay careful attention to what we are reading in these verses, it will explain that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. In Hebrews, in chapter 12, verse 24, it is written, "Into Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant. So the subject here of this verse is Yeshua. And what it says about him is he is the mediator of the new covenant. Verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaks. Well, who is him referring to? Well, we got to go back to the previous verse. It is Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant. That's the him that verse 25 is referring to. And it says, for if they escape not who refused him that spoke on the earth, how much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven? So we're told him, Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, that he spoke on the earth. And then the next verse, verse 26, says, whose voice then shook the whole earth. And so what event is this speaking about? Well, a few verses earlier in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about Mount Sinai. So therefore, we can see that Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, is the him that spoke on earth, whose voice shook the whole earth. And so these verses once again tell us that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. Next, we want to look at John in chapter 14 and verse 15, where Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, when Yeshua said these words, he was making a reference to a verse in the Torah that appears in the chapter on the giving of the Ten Commandments. That is Exodus in chapter 20, which his audience would be familiar with the chapter on the giving of the Ten Commandments. And it is there in Exodus in chapter 20 and verse 6, where we will find the very first place in the Bible where we see the phrase, love me and keep my commandments. In Exodus in chapter 20 verse 6, it is written, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So when Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments, he was making a reference to someone who would be familiar with the Bible. He was linking himself to Exodus chapter 20 verse 6. Well, what's the context of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6? The one that is speaking here at Mount Sinai is giving the Ten Commandments, and the one that's giving the Ten Commandments said of himself in Exodus chapter 20 verse 2, I am Yahweh your Elohim, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai is also the one that brought his people out of Egypt. And the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai and brought his people out of Egypt is Yahweh Elohim. So by making an association, Yeshua, when he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, he was, in doing so, stating that he gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, he brought his children out of Egypt, and that he is Yahweh Elohim. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 4, that Yeshua was the rock that was in the wilderness with the children of Israel. So next, we're going to look at other scriptures which explain to us that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. Once again, we're going to link a couple scriptures together to understand this truth. So first, we're going to read from Jeremiah in chapter 6 and verse 16, wherein in that verse, it is written, thus says the Lord, stand you in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you will find rest for your souls. And so we're told about an old path that is defined as the good way, and you're to walk therein or live your life according to this path or this way. And in doing so, you will find rest for your soul. And this is the scripture that Yeshua refers to in Matthew in chapter 11 in verses 28 through 30, where Yeshua says, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." So his yoke is something that you learn. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So he's saying following him is easy and light. And following him is associated with taking up his yoke. And by taking up his yoke, you will learn of him. In the Jewish culture, when you seek to follow the Torah, you are taking upon yourselves the yoke of the Torah. And Yeshua says, following the Torah in him is easy and light. Well, how is that so? That's because he has given us his indwelling Holy Spirit, which is his power, to give us the power to overcome the desires of the flesh, which wants to follow after its own way and do its own will. In order to help us to follow the Torah, which is defined as the will of God that is written in our heart in Psalm in chapter 40 and verse 8, where in that verse it is written, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Yes, your Torah is within my heart." The will of the God of Israel is his Torah written on our heart. And that is what the new covenant is. It is the Torah written on our heart, as it says in Jeremiah chapter 31 in verse 33, "This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my Torah in their inward part and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That verse is quoted in Hebrews in chapter 8 and verse 10. So the new covenant is the Torah written on our heart, and it is the Holy Spirit who has been given to help us to follow the Torah. In John, in chapter 16, verse 13, Yeshua said, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth." The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth, who will lead you and guide you in all truth. So, what is truth? Well, in Psalm 119 in verse 142, it is written, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is the truth." And then Psalm 119 verse 151, "You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth." The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth who will lead us and guide us in truth. Truth is the Torah or the commandments or the word of the God of Israel. The new covenant is removing from us a stony heart and replacing that stony heart with a heart of flesh and putting his Spirit within us to teach us how to follow his Torah. Ezekiel In chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, it is written, "A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them." So why is following Yeshua's Torah, which is keeping his commandments, which is showing love for him, why is it easy and light? Because he has given us his spirit, who teaches us how to follow his Torah. And when we yield to his spirit, we then will not yield to a stony heart. And a stony heart is a disobedient heart that does not want to follow the Torah. And this is the Torah that Paul followed. That is, he believed that Yeshua is the Messiah and sought to express that faith in him, being led by the Holy Spirit. That's why he said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 22, "I delight in the Torah of God after the inward man." Next, we're going to cross-reference some more scriptures to see that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And to begin with, we want to look at Psalm chapter 16 and verse 10, which says, "You will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption." That verse is quoted of Yeshua in Acts in chapter 2 and verse 27 and also verse 31. So in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 27, it is written, "Because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption." Verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak of you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Messiah to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Messiah, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh to see corruption." And so this verse in Psalm chapter 16 and verse 10 is prophetic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah. But in Psalm chapter 16 and verse 10, it doesn't say Yeshua. It says the Holy One, or the Holy One of Israel. And so the Holy One is a term or a title for Yeshua. Next, we want to look at Psalm in chapter 89 and verse 18. It is written, "For the Lord is our defense, the Holy One of Israel is our King." We want to see here that the Holy One of Israel, which we saw from cross-referencing Psalm 16 verse 10 and Acts chapter 2 verses 27 and 31, is a term for Yeshua. We want to continue to see how this term is a reference to Yeshua. And here it says that the Holy One of Israel is our King. Well, does the scripture say that Yeshua is our King? Yes. In Revelation chapter 19 verse 16, referring to Yeshua at his second coming, it says, "And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And then also in John in chapter 1 in verse 49, it is written, "Nathanael answered and said unto him," that is Yeshua, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." So the Holy One of Israel is our King. Next, we want to look at Isaiah in chapter 43 and verse 3. It says, "I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." So here it says, the one that is your Savior is the Holy One of Israel. Is Yeshua our Savior? Yeah. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, you will call his name Yeshua, which means salvation, because he will save his people from their sins. And then in Titus, in chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 13 and 14, where it is written, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. So our Savior is also our great God, and our Savior is the Holy One of Israel. Next, we're going to look at Isaiah in chapter 41, and we're going to look at, in that chapter, verse 14. And the end of verse 14 says, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. This verse says the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. Is Yeshua our Redeemer? Yes. Going back to Titus in chapter 2, where we just read for you verse 13, which in that verse it spoke about our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. Verse 14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And so our Savior is also our Redeemer, who is the Holy One of Israel. And now we're going to go back to Isaiah, and we're going to look at Isaiah in chapter 47, and we're going to look at verse 4. It says, as for our Redeemer, that is Yeshua, Yahweh of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. And so the Holy One of Israel, who is our King, Psalm 89 verse 18, John chapter 1 verse 49, Revelation chapter 19 verse 16, who is also our Savior, Isaiah in chapter 43 and verse 3, as well as Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, who is also our Redeemer, Isaiah chapter 47 verse 4, Titus in chapter 2 and verse 14. He is Yahweh of hosts. And now we are going to look at Isaiah in chapter 5 and verse 24. And the last part of verse 24 says, because they've cast away the Torah of Yahweh of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And so the last part of this verse is written in a parallel structure, wherein the Torah is the same as the Word, and the Holy One of Israel is the same as Yahweh of hosts. So regarding the Holy One of Israel, who is also our King, our Savior, our Redeemer, it says that they despised his Word, and they cast away his Torah. And so, realizing that the Holy One of Israel, Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, refers to Yeshua, Acts chapter 2, verses 27 and 31, we can see, once again, that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And now, we're going to go to Deuteronomy in chapter 33. And we are going to look at verses 2 and 3, where it is written, and he said, "The Lord came from Sinai." So the subject here is the one that came from Sinai, or the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. It says, "He rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints." Verse 3. "Yes, he loved the people. All his saints are in your hand, and they sat down at his feet, and every one shall receive of his words." So, referring to the one that came from Mount Sinai, it says that they received his words, and in doing so, they sat down at his feet. Now, sitting down at his feet is a Hebrew idiom for being taught the Torah. And Paul uses this phrase in Acts chapter 22 in verse 3, where he says, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city," referring to Jerusalem, "at the feet of Gamaliel." And so Gamaliel was Rav Shaul's Torah teacher. And so then we want to look at Luke in chapter 10. And then we're going to look at verse 39, which says, "And she," referring to Martha, "had a sister called Mary, which sat at Yeshua's feet and heard his word." So, sitting at his feet is the same as hearing his word. And in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 3, that the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, in receiving the Torah or hearing his word, they sat at his feet. And so this is said of Yeshua, that they sat at his feet and was taught his word. And now we're going to go back to Deuteronomy in chapter 33. And it says in verse 2, "And he came with 10,000s of saints." Well, in the book of Jude, which has one chapter, referring to Yeshua's return at his second coming, we have the following in Jude chapter 1, verse 14. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all." And so, when Yeshua comes at his second coming, he will ultimately, at the end of the 1,000 years, he will be judging the whole earth, because we're told in Revelation in chapter 20 about the great white throne judgment, wherein at that great white throne judgment, the world will be judged for their lies, for their deeds, and Yeshua will be that judge, as we're told in Romans in chapter 14 and verse 10. "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set it not your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Messiah." And now Deuteronomy in chapter 33, that the one that came from Sinai, he came with 10,000s of his saints, verse 2. And it says, "They sat at his feet, they received of his word." And it says in verse 2, from his right hand. Well, Yeshua is the right hand of his Father. And we can see that it's the right hand that defeated Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. In Exodus, in chapter 15 and verse 6, it says, your right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. So in describing the one that came from Sinai, Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 2, it says he came with 10,000 of his saints. They sat at his feet, received his word, and from his right hand, verse 2 says, a fiery law for them. And so this is describing Yeshua as the giver of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Then we're going to look at Isaiah in chapter 33 and verse 22, which says, the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. The one that saves us, that's Yeshua, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Call his name Yeshua because he will save his people from their sins. The one that saves us is also our king. Well, Yeshua is our king. John chapter 1, verse 49. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. And the one that saves us in our king is also our judge. Well, Yeshua is going to judge the whole earth. Romans in chapter 14 and verse 10, Revelation in chapter 20. So the one that saves us, the one that's our king, the one that is our judge is also our lawgiver, the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And so from these scriptures, we can see that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. Next, we are going to look at the temptation of Yeshua that's recorded in Luke in chapter 4. And in verse 1, it says, in Yeshua, being full of the Holy Spirit or the Ruach HaKodesh, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And so one thing that it's critical to realize here is that it is Yeshua who is being tempted by the devil. God the Father is not the one being tempted by the devil. The devil is tempting Yeshua. And so in verse 3, the devil said to him, Yeshua, if you be the Son of God, which is a term for the Messiah, if you are the Messiah, command this stone that it be made bread. And Yeshua answered him, quoting the word of God, quoting the Torah from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And then the temptation continues. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it, if you will worship me, all shall be yours, referring to Yeshua. So the devil is tempting Yeshua, and the devil is saying to Yeshua, worship me. And Yeshua answered and said unto him, remember, it's Yeshua who's being tempted. And so Yeshua's reply in Luke chapter 4 in verse 8 is, get thee behind me, Satan. So, Hasatan says to Yeshua, worship me. Yeshua responds, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written." Written of whom? Written of me. That's the context. Get behind me, for it's written of me. You shall worship the Lord your God, in him only shall you serve. Yeshua is quoting Deuteronomy in chapter 6, verse 13. And then we have an additional temptation that the devil did unto Yeshua, wherein, in verse 9, he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If you are the Son of God," which is a term for the Messiah, "if you are the Messiah, cast yourself down from here." And then HaSatan quotes from Psalm 91, "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you and to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone." And Yeshua answered and said unto him, in being tempted by the devil, "It is said," and he's quoting now from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." So Yeshua is the one that is being tempted, and his reply in being tempted is, "Don't tempt the Lord your God." In other words, he's calling himself the Lord your God. And so in being tempted by the devil, Yeshua quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13, and Deuteronomy in chapter 6, verse 16. So let's go back to Deuteronomy in chapter 6, and let's see the context of these verses. Now, Deuteronomy in chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "Lest you forget Yahweh, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." So the subject is Yahweh, who brought his people from the house of bondage. And it says in verse 13, this is the verse that Yeshua quoted, "Fear Yahweh your Elohim and serve him, and shall swear by his name." And then in verse 16, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massa." And so the context of Deuteronomy chapter 6, Yahweh Elohim, who is the Lord your God, is the one that brought his people out of Egypt. And the one that brought his people out of Egypt in Exodus in chapter 20 and verse 2 says in verse 6 that, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so we just cross-reference all these scriptures, and we can see that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. Now, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, in verses 1 through 4, Paul is referring to the coming out of Egypt. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, that is, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and they all passed through the sea. And they all were immersed unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They did all eat the same spiritual meat, they did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah." So Paul says that the rock that was in the wilderness, that rock was Messiah. Well, Deuteronomy in chapter 6, in verse 13, it is written, don't tempt the Lord your God, as you tempted him in Massa. Well, now, if we go to Psalm in chapter 78, in verse 35, it says, "And they remembered that God was their rock, the high God, their Redeemer." And so, we could see here that their Redeemer is also their rock. And their Redeemer, that's their rock, is also their God. And then it says in Psalm 78, verses 40 and 41, "How they did provoke him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert." How did they grieve him? By not being obedient to his instructions. Verse 41, "They turned back and they tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel." And so, the one that the children of Israel are tempting in the wilderness is the Holy One of Israel. And the one that was with them in the wilderness is the rock. And Yeshua is the rock that was with the children of Israel in the wilderness. He is also the Holy One of Israel. And the Holy One of Israel is the one that died and was resurrected. The Holy One of Israel is the one who is our King, who is our Savior, who is our Redeemer, who is Yahweh of hosts, and who gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. So, from these scriptures, we can see that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And that's why he said in John chapter 14, verse 15, that if you love me, keep my commandments. So he's referring to the commandments as his commandments. And so following and keeping his commandments is way you express love unto him. And love is associated with a relationship that you have with someone. And you enter into relationship with Yeshua by repenting of your sins, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, and receiving his shed blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And so once you repent of your sins, accept Yeshua as the Messiah, the Bible says that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. And so since Yeshua and his shed blood forgives you of sin, how are you to live your life in appreciation to the one who saved you from your sins? And so the way in which he saves us from our sins is by grace through faith. We're told in Ephesians in chapter 2 in verses 8 and 9, it is written, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we are saved by grace through faith. And what do we do as an expression of being saved by grace through faith? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, "We are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Notice, in being saved by grace through faith, which Ephesians 2:9 says it's not of works. So even though we're saved by grace through faith and it's not of our own works or our own merit, as a result of being saved by grace through faith and being created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. When? After we are saved by grace through faith. And so Paul said in Romans in chapter 3, after he explains that both Jew and non-Jew in Romans chapter 3 verses 28 through 30 are justified by faith, he then asks the question, Romans chapter 3 verse 31, do we make void the Torah through faith? Making void means to do away with. Are we supposed to do away with the Torah because we're saved by grace through faith? Well, that is what most of Christianity is taught. But Paul answers the question. He says, God forbid we establish the Torah. After we are saved by grace through faith, we establish the Torah. Why do we establish the Torah, which is the Word of God, which is loving Yeshua and keeping His commandments? Well, because in 1 John in chapter 3 and verse 4, we are given a biblical definition of sin. It says, whosoever commits sin transgresses the Torah, for sin is transgression of the Torah. And so, what is it that you have to do to sin? What's the definition of sin? And what's the criteria for sinning? Well, it is transgressing the Torah. And so, is a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, is he supposed to endeavor or seek to live a sinful life after he's been saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of Yeshua? Well, Paul asks this question in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, what do you have to do to continue in sin? Well, you got to transgress the Torah. You see, whenever we transgress the Torah and we seek forgiveness and we show a contrite heart, a repentant heart, that's when the mercy or the grace of God is bestowed upon us and He forgives us. And so His grace and His mercy comes as a result of us sinning and us repenting of our sin. So Paul says, well, do we continue sinning or transgressing the Torah so that the God of Israel can continue showing grace in this way toward us? And he answers the question in Romans chapter 6 verse 2, God forbid. And in other words, we don't continue to sin after we accept Yeshua as the Messiah. And this is living a lifestyle of sin. Now, in Exodus, in chapter 20, in verse 6, it says, showing mercy to whom? To them that love me and keep my commandments. And so, the mercy of the God of Israel is shown toward those whose heart is toward Him, that seeks to love Him, that seeks to be obedient to Him, which is loving Him and keeping His commandments. Now, in John, in chapter 14 and verse 21, Yeshua went on to say, after He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, He says, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Yeshua will manifest himself to those who seek to love him and keep his commandments. And now, regarding following or keeping the commandments of Yeshua, John in 1 John in chapter 5 in verse 2 says, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." And so Yeshua said that his burden is easy and light. His commandments do not have the purpose of burdening us, but it's through obedience, and obedience is not sinning. And when we seek to follow the Torah of Yeshua, being led by his Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, Yeshua said to those who believe on him, those who are his disciples, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Yeshua said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Continuing his word is following his Torah. "And you will know the truth." Well, the truth is the Torah, Psalm 119, verse 142, which is all the commandments, Psalm 119, verse 151. "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And so it's sin that brings us into bondage, but it's loving Yeshua, keeping his commandments, and following his Torah that sets us free and gives us liberty. And so we are told in the book of James, in chapter 1 and verse 25, "But whosoever looks into the perfect Torah of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And so the greatest commandment, which Yeshua said is the Shema, which is Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And so we are to give ear to the Torah. And it says, "He that looks into the perfect Torah of liberty and continues, not being a forgetful hearer." And so when you hear the Torah, we are to write it on our heart. We are to obey it. And this is how we express our love for Yeshua. He expressed his love for us by shedding his blood, making it possible to be forgiven of our sins when we transgress the Torah. He gives us his indwelling Holy Spirit to help us to walk in the Torah. And the new covenant is the Torah written upon our hearts. So I pray that this week's teaching has been a blessing to you, helped you to understand that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, and the way we're to express our faith in Yeshua as the Messiah is by loving him and following his Torah. Hebraic Heritage Ministries has a website that will help you to learn the Hebraic roots of Christianity, www.hebroots.org. And even though this teaching is free and we encourage you to make it available to all your friends and family, Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your tithes, love gifts, and monthly donations. And so if this teaching is a blessing to you, I'd encourage you to support Hebraic Heritage Ministries. The ministry address is Hebraic Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 81, Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. And the ministry has a website and many materials to help you to understand the Hebraic roots of Christianity. Just go to the ministry website at hebroots.org and click on Visit Web Store. Now remember always these words from 1 John in chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him, he who says he's a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, ought himself to walk. That means to live our lives even as he walked. And how did Yeshua walk? How did he live his life? He followed the Torah of his father. Even so, he instructed those who believe on him, if you love me, keep my commandments. Until we share with you next week's teaching, Shalom, in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.